knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Hey, a little different scenery with the weather today. Pretty chilly out there. Currently, it's 26 degrees at Hollis, 24 at Hobart, 23 at Bessie, 20 at Weatherford, 22 at Cheyenne, home of the upcoming Roger Mills Cattlemen Association all breed bull sales. Talk about that here in just a minute. Camargo, you're 18 at Lahoma, 21 at Slapout. Out here in the Panhandle of Texas, what do we got going on out there? A little bit of the same thing. 20 at Lipscomb, 23 at McLean, 25 at Odell, and 27 the hot spot at Childress. Anyway, okay, we got all kinds of things going on today. Please, one more time, a really good friend of mine's funeral is today, Coulter Vaults. It'll be here in just a couple hours, the funeral will. And I got one more Coulter Vaults story, and we'll move on with the ag news. So when we were living on the west side of the river, I don't remember what it was. It was daylight. It might have been 6:30 or 7. Coulter called me. Hey, you want to kill some pigs? I said, sure. Why not? And because him calling me that early in the morning was a little different. Anyway, so he said, meet me down at the high fence, at Chad's high fence. He said, there's a bunch of them in there. So anyway, I got around. I grabbed my 45-70 lever action. And because those bullets, if they just graze the hog, they're down. Anyways, pulled up there. Coulter was already there, had the gate wide open. And he said, I'll get on the back of the pickup. So he pulls his rifle out of the pickup. And I know a 17 HMR is a good rifle for shooting things, especially when you're a dead shot like Coulter was. And anyway, I said, hey, if you're going to be riding on the back of my truck, shooting hogs out here in this high fence. Hope James is not listening. But anyway, I said, you got to use this. So I got out my golden boy, Henry, 45-70. And I told him not to scratch it. And I said, I'll do the driving. And it's inside Chad's pivot where he's got there. Sandy, it's sandy as heck out there. And anyway, put him four-wheel drive. Coulter got on the back. I said, hey, that rifle does kick. He just looks at me, he's like, I'm big, don't worry about it, it ain't gonna do nothing. So anyway, we flying through there. Good thing about hogs, when they dig a hole into a high fence area, they forget where that hole is. So they're running around there like their heads are cut off everywhere. Anyway, finally got up beside some of them, and Coulter shot one. It was funny. It kicked him back into the headache rack because he was just standing there not braced in anything. But he turned around with that smirk of his and he went, damn. And anyway, it was just a good day. We killed a few, and Gary Ripto, he showed up, and we were chasing them through high weeds, and we didn't even know where they was. That was a bad situation when one of those hogs come out of there. And anyway, We ridded the world of some of those hogs. But anyway, I mean, I got a billion memories with that guy. But I just want to let you guys know this, because he's the fire whisperer. That guy could read a fire, wasn't scared, nothing scared him in the fire while firefighting. But he was just, I'm going to call him the fire whisperer, because he could read those fires like Dale Earnhardt could read the draft at Daytona or Talladega. That's how he was. And he was a big man, but he was a gentle bear and just always messing with people. But his, like I said yesterday, his heart was big as state of Oklahoma. I got to go do the visitation yesterday, and he's got his Dale High 12 firefighter shirt on, and he looks good. And So we're going to have some celebration of his life today. And just, anyway, you guys pray for the family and just take a moment of silence at 2 o'clock for him. And we'll see how that goes. Okay, let's see what's going on in our ag world. Soybeans. Futures were higher in overnight trading amidst oversold conditions that have triggered some technical buying. Investors who were short the market or had bet on lower prices are likely buying back contracts and booking profits after prices dropped to near two-year lows on Wednesday. Futures have been falling on expectations for a record crop in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, while forecasts are still calling for the largest ever crop. The USDA last week forecast Brazil output to be at 157 million metric tons. That's down from a December outlook of 161 million tons. Brazil said that now sees production at about 155 million. Brazil, which represents farmers in the South America, Anyway, the J in the Spanish doesn't sound right. Anyway, we'll just go with Aprosoho. How's that? Brazil, which represents farmers in South American country, puts an estimate at 135 million metric tons, about 15 to 20% of Brazil's soybean and corn areas are seeing some drought stress. Commodity Weather Group said in a note to clients, rain will ease stress in some of the states in the next 5 days. Precipitation is expected in the next 6 to 15 days in northeastern growing areas of Brazil, though the 16 to 30 day outlook is drier. Our outlook next, I haven't actually checked it today. Let's see what our forecast for next week, see if they're still calling for monsoon season next week. Yes, starting Monday, 47% chance of rain. Tuesday, 25%. Wednesday, 40%. Thursday, 51%. Friday, 24%. And 15% on Saturday. So anyway, there's some rain chances coming in for us next week. Soybean futures for March delivery overnight rose 7 cents to 12.20 and a half a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $3 to $3.6430 a short ton, and soy oil added 17 cents to 47.79 cents a pound. Corn futures were up 1 penny to 4.45 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery rose 4 cents to 5.89 and a half a bushel. And Kansas City futures gained overnight 1¾ cents to 6.07 a bushel. They were a day late on their ethanol production, so I'll go ahead and check that out for you here real quick. Production in that biofuel declined to 1.05 million barrels a day on average in the week that ended on January 12th. According to the EIA in its report, that's down from 1.06 million barrels a week earlier. The Midwest, who's the biggest producer, output fell to average of 1.001 million barrels a day, and that's down from 1.006 million the previous week. Gulf Coast production dropped to average 19,000 barrels a day, and that's down from 21,000 the week before. That was the entirety of the losses of the remaining regions, saw no week-to-week changes. East Coast, 11,000 barrels a day. Rocky Mountain, 14,000 barrels a day. West Coast, unchanged at 10,000 barrels a day. Ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, jumped to 25.695 million barrels in the 7 days that ended on January 12th. That is up from 24.3 million barrels a week earlier, and that's the highest level since March 17th of 2023. Weather in our ag farm belt. Wind chill advisories are in effect for much of the western corn belt, while winter weather is expected in the eastern Midwest. According to the National Weather Service, advisories have been issued for several states where wind chills will fall to extreme lows, including Montana, North and South Dakota, Nebraska and Kansas, parts of the northern part of Oklahoma also. In western Kansas, values dropped as low as minus 15. In central North Dakota, wind chills will fall this afternoon to 35 below zero. In northern Indiana and southern Michigan, the snowfall will continue throughout the day into Saturday with about 2 to 3 more inches of accumulation expected. My computer is acting up here. It's zigzagging everywhere. Just according to the National Weather Service, the cold wind chills could result in hypothermia if precautions are not taken. Hey, I seen Mr. Kurt Hamburger post something on social media here this morning. It was pretty cool. It's not like you don't have any more room on your truck for any your winter first aid kits, I call it, for doing cattle, because you know most people are calving right now. But with the ice and everything, he's got a handheld auger like you dig post holes with. He's out there and he's just going through there along the pond. I think it was him. I know it was digging augering holes just all along the bank right there. No chopping, no nothing. Just auger holes through there. And cows get each one of them get their little old watering hole there. So that's pretty cool. But like I said, in his comment was, he said, like we need more stuff on our truck for the winter. Well, speaking of more stuff on our truck, the Hobart Stockyards, I found out via some my secret messenger down in the Kiowa County area, Hobart Stockyards now sell the catch-all, the nets that you can put on the back of your truck, either your feeder, cake feeder, or the back of your headache rack for putting net wrap and feed sacks in instead on the highway and the county right-of-ways. Yeah, he's, oh, here Jimmy goes again. Man, it really is. It's sad. I thought Beckham County was bad, but Greer County, Kiowa County, Roger Mills County, you guys, and even Custer County, you guys, we're all the same. It's all the same. Anyway, please, please, please secure your net wrap and your feed sacks. Even you deer hunters out there with your corn sacks, you're just as bad as anybody with stuff blowing on it. Secure your stuff and get it on there. But anyway, if you want all those catch-alls made by the stairs down there at Willow, Oklahoma, anyway, Hobart Stockyards are now selling them directly there at the stockyard. So I guess if you want one, get a hold of Rex Fleming, see what happens. We'll get that going. All right, let's go ahead and take a happy hour break. And today's happy hour is brought to you by the Wheeler General Store in Wheeler, Texas. We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City. With all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust, the new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers with managing livestock risk protection. LRP is the cheapest way to establish a floor price for your cattle while leaving the top side open. Policies are available for calves, stocker cattle, and feed yard cattle, with no upfront costs or margin calls. For LRP and crop insurance, contact Andy or Codell at the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Hold on to your ag investment at nightlatch.net.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January the 5th. 1,750 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 412 brought 320. 4 at 490 brought 296. 12 at 596 brought 239. 9 at 611 brought 253. 8 at 709 brought 212. 10 at 717 brought 225. 3 at 798 brought 195. 2 head of heifers at 426 brought 260. 6 at 451 brought 254. 5 at 502 brought 246. 8 at 541 brought 234. 4 at 563 brought 234. 10 at 805 brought 190. 8 at 873 brought 185. Butcher cows were 31 to 119. Butcher bulls brought 55 to 119.50. Bred cows were 1,035 to 2,000. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Wheeler General Store Happy Hour. Currently here on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette Center. 21.7 degrees. Humidity's 39. The winds are out of the northwest. Says here about 7 to 8, but I know it's blowing harder than that out there. But we're downtown. We're not downtown. We're in a metropolitan Elk City, so the trees from the city park up there kind of block the wind. But anyway, here is your ag weather update for Canadian, Texas. 21 degrees, wind chill 10 degrees above zero. Humidity's 39, dew point is zero. Wind is out of the northwest at 10 miles an hour with wind gust at 11 right now. Peak wind gust so far today, 37 miles an hour. Man, when it hit at dark last night, it hit with a vengeance down there at the house. Let's see what else we got here. Month-to-date precipitation, 83 one-hundredths of an inch. Red flag minutes today, zero. Sub-freezing minutes today, 736 minutes. And 8-inch soil temperature, Canadian, Texas, is 33 degrees. All right, let's get a check on what's happening with the markets as of right now. March corn 445, up a little over one. May 455, basically unchanged. Soybeans for March 1214, up one. May 1225, unchanged. Soybean meal for March 360, even, down $1.30 per short ton. May 358.30, up 80 cents. July 360.90, up 150. Soybean oil, March 46.82, down 80. May 47.33, down 68. Hard red winter wheat, March 608, up a little over 3. May 611, up 3. And July 614, up 3 also. Cotton's in the green today. Man, it's steadily climbing here the last few weeks. March cotton, 83.80, up 129. May 84.73, up 134. July 85.16, up 120. October 81.99, up 113. Man, it keeps that up. The old cotton king down in Washtenaw County might be getting into some profit pretty soon. Oh, wait, he probably already sold all that. Never mind. Anyway, February, West Texas intermediate crude oil, 73.50, down 58. March, 73.26, down 69. Natural gas still going backwards. February 253, down 16, and March 224, down 16. Let's see what is. Looks like the Nasdaq, S&P, and the Dow are all in the green today. So there you got it. All right, let's check out some live cattle prices futures. February 174.47, down 35. April 177.40, down 25. June 174.35, down 17. Feeder cattle down a little bit today. January 230 even, down 92. March 232.05, down 50. April 237.45, down 30. May, it's 242.10 down 25. August, 257.75 down 15. Lean hogs are in the red. February, 70.72 down 37. April, 78.35 down 10. May, 83.75 down 35. June, 91.75 down 32. All right, let's see what. Hey, I have noticed that the on this feature board is a class 3 milk. That January and February and March here the last week, 10 days, that it's slowly going up. So that's a good thing for our dairy farmers. Okay, let's see here. I have some results from some of the sale barns up north. I did hear through the grapevine that Fairview, I think it is, Fairview is moving their sales starting here in a week or two to Tuesdays from now on. So that's just an update from my friends up in the northwestern part of the state. That's at the, I'm pretty sure it's not a rumor. I think I've seen it on their Facebook page. I'll verify that during the next break. Here's some receipts. Pretty low receipts this week, especially around the Woodward area, with these extremely cold temperatures earlier this week, canceling auctions on Tuesdays and Wednesdays around the state. They were actually at Woodward, they had 50 head of cows and bulls were sold there yesterday, and cows were 93 to 103 and a few up to 112, a few bulls 110 to 14. But on the rest of the market, on the feeders, compared to last week, was a very light run of feeder cattle and calves due to the cold. There was a few for an accurate trend, but a steady to stronger undertone was noted. Just some of the prices we got going here. Let's see, 4 to 5 weights were bringing anywhere from 287 all the way up to 312. And then some 5 to 6 weights were bringing, so there's some 515s at 304. And then some 6 weights were bringing anywhere from 217 to 251. 7 weights were bringing up to 228. And then 8 weights 219, 9 weights 207. On the heifer side, they had some 482s bringing up to 269. Some 5 weights were bringing up to, looks like top end on them was 253. Some 6 weights were bringing up to 622, the best I see there. And 7 weight heifers up to 218. And that's all I got, I think. Yep, that's all I got for that right there. All right, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. I want to come back a little bit about them, and we'll do a ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
January is School Board Recognition Month, and Western Technology Center would like to recognize its district board members for their commitment, service, and dedication to furthering education in Western Oklahoma. Thank you to Ray Chalice, Daryl Nutley, Rudy Mayfield, Jacqueline Aaron, and Phil Delp for your sacrificial time and leadership for the faculty, staff, and especially the students of all the Western Oklahoma WTC campuses. Western Technology Center's educating people for success.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120 plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30. Selling 90 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 20 commercial bred heifers. They've got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. They've been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30 p.m. on County Road 2150 near Foss. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Beef, that's what's on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 11th annual Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, January 27th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. They're selling 70 yearling to two-year-old bulls and 20 bred heifers. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 27th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Ceiling, here is your ag weather update. Currently it's 21, wind chill 11, dew points at 0, humidity's 38, winds are out of the north at 9 miles an hour, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 29 degrees, 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, must not be working anyway, sunset at 5:48, today 29 with north winds 10 to 12 miles an hour, tonight cold, clear, 9 degrees. North to east winds 3 to 7 miles an hour. Tomorrow 29, sunny, southeast winds up to 12 miles an hour. Man, we got so much going on. So yesterday we discussed it. Penny news. Have you picked up your penny news yet? Anyway, the Jimmy's Bull and Female Sale calendar is in there. First one that's coming up actually a week from tomorrow will be Hudson Angus Farms Bull Sale, January 27th at 1 o'clock. I'll have Bert in here sometime next week to talk about what he's got coming through the ring over there. And then coming up February 3rd, the following Saturday, is the Roger Mills County Men's All Breed Sale. And then coming up February 10th, the following week, is Bradley 3 Ranch Bull and Female Sale out there in the Texas Panhandle. Well, I got the book. I picked it up at Southbound yesterday for the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association 46th annual Western Oklahoma All Breed Bull Sale. Be 12:15. I'm gonna have to figure out where the Red Barn Arena is. They're changing places, and I should have called before I started the show, but anyway, we'll have that all figured out before you know it. But anyway, there's some pretty good looking stuff in here. I got, just to name a few of the breeders that are have consigned bulls, I'll name you all off over the next week or 10 days. So I want to start with some of them right off the bat that I know. Metter Angus Farms will be selling some bulls. And then two bulls to be exact, looks like. Yep, 6 and 7. Jim Burns Farms selling a bull. Mollet Angus here out of Elk City. He's got 4 or 5 bulls in there. And looky here, world famous Matt Thornbrough. Ashley's husband, he's got some bulls in there too. Anyway, Jenkins Angus bulls will be in there. Don Mahler, Brown Cattle Company. We got Black Hereford Ranch, Boswell Cattle Company. He's the secret weapon up there at Cheyenne. You guys know that, right? And then Frank and Linda Lucas. I just spoke with her via text message this morning. She'll be coming on the show here in about 8 or 9 days, talk about that in their new location where they're going to be having at the Red Barn. Sorry, I thought I knew where everything was around Cheyenne, so I must be out on that one. We'll get it all figured out, and I know somebody will text it to me where it's at. So that's coming up, and then, like I said, we got more bull sales coming up. Davis Angus will be March 2nd, and that'll be over at Foss. It'll be a great sale, and more bull sales will be on the Jimmy's Bull and Female sale calendar coming up next week in the next Penny News. So we're going to be updating the bulls, the calendar every week. Okay, speaking of bulls, I think we went through this last year, and we'll probably go through it every year on this show. What's, if you know your gender on cattle, what's the one thing bulls don't like? Getting cold. Can you guys name that? Well, I'll help you out here. Livestock producers know winter can be a challenge for their cow herds. And Carla Welke, I think that is, Nebraska Extension cow-calf stocker specialist, reminds them not to forget about their bulls and their winter management plans. Bulls are one of our biggest investments, and I think it's the biggest investment in the cow herd myself. 90% of the cows are still impregnated through natural service with a bull rather than artificial insemination, she said. So they are required year-round maintenance. Imagine that. Yes. While most cows are in larger groups, bulls tend to be in small groups, resulting in more exposure to the elements. Keeping them protected from the element is crucial. A bull's testicles can get frostbite, which could decrease semen production and quality, making it hard to pass their breeding soundness exams. She suggests windbreaks and some bedding of poor quality feed bales or corn stalk residue bales to protect and maintain the bull. I heard through the grapevine last year there was people putting on socks on the bull's privates. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Winter weather can also create scenarios where bulls can be injured, such as on ice. If it doesn't recover by breeding season, the bull will have to be sold or culled in the spring. Winter is not the only season a bull can be at risk, especially for young bulls where they can lose weight with low quality forages. In drought, a young bull can lose 1 to 2 points of body condition score or 1 to 9 during the breeding season. Maintaining a body condition score of 5 to 6 in the winter will result in high quality semen when bulls have a body condition of a score of 4. A livestock producer will also need more bulls for breeding season if all their bulls are young. And guess what? We got all these bull sales going on. There's no reason why nobody shouldn't be out there spending them about $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $12,000 and getting them a good bull. A young bull who's typically 12 to 16 months old can breed up to 10 to 15 cows. A mature bull of 30 months can breed up to 25 to 30, she says. When mixing young and older bulls, it's also important to keep an eye on the older bull. Older, larger bulls can injure younger bulls when fighting for dominance. It's really important to have yearly breeding soundness exams done on all bulls, she said. When a bull breeder sells a new yearling, that bull will have to pass go through the sale. Producers who will want to make sure older bulls continue to get soundness exams. A dominant bull who cannot pass a breeding soundness exam and prevents younger bulls from having access to cows can result in cows that do not get bred, and that really hurts the pocketbook, or get bred late in the breeding season. It takes a bull 2 months to produce semen. Again, younger bulls are still growing and will sometimes fall apart in the winter if their nutritional needs are not met. And that's so true. So, you know, right now, it's time to maybe check them out now. Have them checked out now, because if you wait till March or April, bull sales will all be over if your bull doesn't check out. And the prices of selling a bull at the sale barn right now is really good. That'll make you a heck of a down payment on your new bull if you need one. Or bulls. How about that? Add an S on to the end of them. We'll see how that goes. So get your bulls checked out. Make an appointment with your vet. Get them checked and let her rip. How's that? Let's check out the current U.S. drought monitor before we go to break. Right now, Oklahoma looks awesome. Matter of fact, the Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas, and check this out, Nevada and California really don't have any drought going on whatsoever in those states to speak of. Oklahoma's got some D1 and D2 going on. Nothing major there. Most of it's along the Red River. A little bit in Harmon County and Greer County. Over Tillman, Comanche, they've got a little bit going on there, but not enough to really talk about. Kansas looks way better than they did last year, but they still got D1, 2, and 3 going on there a little bit. But man, New Mexico, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, I'm sorry, let me back up, not Alabama, but Mississippi and parts of western Tennessee and parts of western Arkansas, they got a lot of red going on. So does the southern part of New Mexico and Arizona. They got it going on. So in other words, everything doesn't look bad except for those guys there in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Arkansas. They've been dealing with this for about 2 or 3 months now, and they're planning soybean and corn seasons coming up pretty quick because they don't get near as cold as we do out here. So anyway, don't look too shabby. Anyway, El Nino's here for now, and I think they're predicting it to start losing its ump in about March. So we got rain coming in next week, so we're doing good. I'm happy to be a landowner out there right now. All right, let's see. Let's talk about the Wheeler General Store. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easier and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. And you know, one of my favorite guys from the French Quarters in Louisiana, Jeremiah, he's the guy up there at Cheyenne making all that good high pro feed. And he's fun to play golf with. If you never played golf with somebody from the French Quarters, you need to play with Jeremiah. It is a blast. And he buys plenty of golf balls, and he keeps the Sarah Golf Course in check over there with inventory on golf balls. Anyway, located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. And thank you, Wheeler General Store, for being the happy hour sponsor every Friday on the Day in Ag. How about that? Oh, also, you know, I was watching the screen that I got up here that's got the list of all the ads, the sponsors, and music and everything. I did not know that Jordan Davis Cook was a entertainer. She has a song out that played right before the show started called "Take It From Me." And it says Jordan Davis. It's got to be her. That's our Foss Burns Flat Cordell Jordan Davis Cook. It doesn't say Cook on there, but anyway, I didn't know that. So anyway, congratulations for her getting a song that's played here on KEZO. Well, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden agriculture update, weather update, right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
If you need something and you could buy it now cheaper than later, it makes sense to buy it now. Lyle's giving you the opportunity to do the sensible thing. If you need ag tires, they're on sale until January 15th in Blair. Blair Tire and Feed's having a sale on all in-stock ag tires, including Firestone. The whole crew appreciates your business this year, and they're looking forward to helping you next year. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19. Pay less right now for all in-stock ag tires. This deal's good till January 15th.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in four different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6000. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. I picked the big city of Tipton, Oklahoma. 27 degrees, feels like 15, dew points at 2. Humidity's at 33. The winds are out of the north, 14 miles an hour with wind gust up to 19. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 31 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 5:52 today, mostly sunny, 34 degrees. North winds tonight, mostly clear and cold, 17 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny, and you're going to get above freezing, 34 degrees with east winds 6 to 9 miles an hour. Okay, let's talk about consumers. Consumers is the most important person in the world for no matter what a farmer or rancher does, because that's our thing. We're growing crops and raising animals, beef, pork, poultry, doesn't matter, to go for the consumer to purchase. Practically every new dollar that enters the U.S. beef industry originates from consumers who purchase beef products. When consumer beef is demand is in robust, beef industry participants flourish. When demand is sluggish, industry participants are challenged. Anything producers can do to positively influence consumer demand for beef will ultimately benefit them. When funding assistance from the Kansas Beef Council with funding from assistance from the Kansas Beef Council, we are currently completing a study designed to rank factors affecting consumer beef purchase behavior. In the study, we sought to rank factors affecting beef purchasing decisions by consumers. To accomplish this, we conducted a national representative survey of 3,001 U.S. consumers to identify and measure importance of factors influencing beef products purchasing decision. Results reveal numerous things cattle producers can do to enhance beef demand. And there's some producers around here that are really big on what I'm talking about here. In the survey, consumers completed a set of questions in which they ranked the importance of 9 beef product attributes which make purchase decisions. Survey respondents indicated their 3 most and 3 least important among 9 product. Attribute rankings are summarized in the chart below. The chart reports percentages of responses that rated each attribute to the most important, least important, and the net, which is the most important plus less important. That makes sense. How about that? Okay, here's the key findings. They found product freshness, safety, price, and flavor were the top ranked attributes overall, with the 2 most often ranked most important being product freshness and price. This is a common result found in several recent studies. Next, number 2, next in line of importance overall included animal welfare, use of hormones and antibiotics in producing beef, and supporting local farmers. Number 3, the lowest ranked one was by a sizable margin, was low carbon beef, defined as beef produced with 10% lower greenhouse gas emissions. Number 4, each of the 9 that were identified as most important by at least some consumers, this indicates there are opportunity for niche markets for perhaps every attribute presented, even least frequently identified as the most important of was low carbon beef. 11% of consumers indicated it was important. So what can producers do with this information? Well, beef product freshness is essential. Producers must stress importance of product freshness with downstream retail consumers through producer association work with packers and retailers. And you guys know that between the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, Oklahoma Beef Council, the National Beef Council, all of them, consumers are so important. And especially, I think the biggest thing is raising local beef to be processed here local in our area, listening area, whether it's Texas or Oklahoma here. I think that's the most important thing. Ensuring food safety must continue to be a focus for the industry. Every stage of beef production from producer to consumer potentially impacts food safety. Food safety regulations in downstream beef production and marketing must be continually assessed, and producers should support efforts to help ensure safety. Next thing, price. Beef price matters and develops in adoption of production technologies that make the industry more efficient will affect long-run prosperity of producers through lower cost of production and cost-competitive beef products for consumer. Number 4, some consumers rank price pretty low as importance. This is a strong market for high-end expensive beef products offering exceptional quality branded products, special assurances, and certifications like certified Angus beef that you see on the menus at a lot of restaurants wherever you're at. Anyway, number 5, beef quality includes flavor, juiciness, and tenderness are important to many consumers, plus marbling. I'll throw that in there. A desirable eating experience will continue to attract consumers to beef products. Efforts improving beef quality in the industry has been remarkable over the last several years. Valuing cattle using grids and other value-based signals have been instrumental in enhancing beef quality. And it ain't them ones that they're making in the factory. I know you guys have been seeing that story over there and somewhere in Europe, how they're making the computerized beef. Man, get you some of that. That's all I can tell you. I will not brag on that or ever say anything good about it. I'm sorry. And it's not in my blood. The market segment for beef produced without use of hormones or antibiotics appears to be at a least stable as roughly 25% of consumers. Producers are cautioned not to overexpand the industry into naturally raised and related beef production practices if they are more costly to adopt, and the supply could quickly outpace demand growth, resulting in lower market premiums. Number seven, ongoing efforts to ensure consumers the entire industry practices good animal welfare stewardship matters. However, potential stuff between animal welfare and using fewer antibiotics in cattle production must continue to be monitored and efforts success to make them more compatible. A couple more to go. Number eight, a niche market opportunity must be present for low carbon beef. However, it represents a small market segment that producers are not likely to benefit pursuing. Regulatory issues surrounding greenhouse gas emissions have been prevalent regardless of its low importance to customers. Number nine, I'm going to touch on that here in just a second. It's going to be Jimmy's opinion, my two cents worth right after this. Consumer preferences vary, what's most beneficial and challenging for the industry. The fact that no single beef product attribute was ranked among the three most important by over half the respondents reveal diversity in preferences across consumers. The benefit is numerous production and marketing strategies can be successful if designed and targeted towards consumers having specific preferences. The challenge is a single strategy is likely to be less successful with a variety of strategies targeting various consumer segments. And there you have it. All right, back to number eight. This greenhouse gas, this climate change in every day. Climate's been changing every day since way before we were even thought of, probably since Adam and Eve. How about that? Anyway, global warming, climate change, greenhouse gases, cattle are causing all this problems, but these people flying around the United States or the world in their airplanes, they ain't worried about climate change or greenhouse gases. Anyway, my thoughts on this deal is, since I started doing the show two and a half years ago or whatever it is, anyway, I've seen where, especially in the last 2 years, the USDA spends a lot of money on climate policies, climate change policies, with all this stuff. And a lot of those programs, like cover crops and stuff like that, it's great. I'm a believer in that stuff. But when they start spending millions, billions, or hundreds of millions anyway, on trying to identify, is my cows down there in central Beckham County are causing or having too many farts and causing greenhouse gases and all that good stuff, it's a waste of money. So back when COVID started, you guys all remember where the USDA come in with the state of for OSU and state of Oklahoma, and they began helping with our food security, our food supply, the demand by spending money on these processing plants to have more or making other processing plants better and all this for processing beef, hogs, whatever you want to have. That's great. That was well spent money. And then I listened to Dr. Biggs over there the other day at the beef seminar talking about the shortage of vets out here, mainly because location and, you know, we need, lady told me this morning, we need the kids to go to vet school from this area to come back because they got common sense. We don't need kids from other areas that might not have common sense to come back to this area out here. Why doesn't the USDA just have some money out there so we can do the same thing with veterinary clinics instead of blowing it on the greenhouse gas? Because nobody else in the world's worried about the greenhouse gas but us and maybe England. Who knows? And with China and all those others not being able to, not participating in this or say they are and they're not doing it, It's a waste of freaking money. So let's do this. Let's build some vet clinics out here, centralize them in different counties, Harmon County, Greer County, Roger Mills, have different vets coming and working at them every day, and use that money for that right there instead of this crap. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth today. Anyway, guys, I got to go to a celebration of life for culture. And again, if you guys will, at 2 o'clock, say a prayer, take a moment of silence for me. It'd be great. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.
Plug in and stay connected.
Check us out.
Stay connected
on Facebook.
KEZO, Elk City.